Well, happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. A lot of news continuing to build in this very, very busy October. Of course, the election is upon us, but right now we are watching Hurricane Milton as it is barreling towards the western coast of Florida. We're going to speak with Eben Brown of Fox News. He's their national correspondent in about 18 minutes from now. And we're going to get the latest on this hurricane. Fox News is reporting that hurricane-battered Florida braces for yet another round of storm surge and damaging winds as potentially catastrophic Hurricane Milton barrels toward the state's west coast. Treasure Island sits directly in the storm's projected path, putting residents like Chuck Fuller on high alert after already facing the wrath of Hurricane Helene. He spoke with Fox News and says he plans to evacuate ahead of the storm's landfall. And watching some of these videos, I've mostly just seen them on social media, watching these videos of people trying to drive north out of the way of Milton, it's a slow roll. A lot of people are getting close to the point where they have to maybe hunker down if they haven't moved away yet. But Eben Brown with Fox News will give us the latest on all of that information here in not too long, about 12:25 on the show. We're going to speak with Tammy Bruce an hour after that as well. Tammy Bruce is going to talk to us. I cannot wait to discuss some of the latest election stuff with her. The rally this past weekend and what that indicates for Donald Trump and the support there, and the 60 Minutes interview that with Kamala Harris and Bill Whitaker sounded something like this.
The reason so many voters don't know you is that you have changed your position on so many things. You were against fracking, now you're for it. You supported looser immigration policies, now you're tightening them up. You were for Medicare for all, now you're not. So many that people don't truly know what you believe or what you stand for. And I know you've heard that.
In the last 4 years, I have been Vice President of the United States. And I have been traveling our country. And I have been listening to folks and seeking what is possible in terms of common ground. I believe in building consensus. We are a diverse people, geographically, regionally, in terms of where we are in our backgrounds. And what the American people do want is that we have leaders who can build consensus, where we can figure out compromise and understand it's not a bad thing, as long as you don't compromise your values, to find common sense solutions. So, and that has been my approach.
That's your approach. I don't even know what that means. She's talking about changing her positions on specific issues that are laid out there by Bill Whitaker. But I think that the people of Pennsylvania would really like to know why she said she, let me be clear, one of her favorite phrases. Also, in terms of, I could totally make a Kamala Harris bingo card. But I, maybe like you, do not have the stamina to listen to a whole interview with her straight through. To listen for these types of things because it makes me want to gouge my ears out of my head. She is talking about how she's now traveled the country as vice president. She now understands she got to be the vice president of the United States, and that's what needed to happen in order for her to travel the country to change her position on some of the most key issues to the American people. And the biggest one of these is the border, because whether you want to call her the border czar or not, you can call her whatever you want. If you want to label her border czar, if you want to say that's not the official name that was given. She was handed the border as an identified problem by President Joe Biden. Kamala Harris was sitting to his right when he looked at her and said, you are the most appropriate person for this job to address the issues that we have on our southern border. And she
there
was pressed
was
on that last
an
night.
A historic flood of undocumented immigrants coming across the border the first 3 years of your administration. As a matter of fact, arrivals quadrupled from the last year of President Trump. Was it a mistake to loosen the immigration policies as much as you did?
It's a long-standing problem. And solutions are at hand. And from day
solutions, I gotta stop it because there's gonna be too much bologna sausage, heaping a pile of bologna sausage here to muck through. In order to parse what she is saying in this response, you have Bill Whitaker here saying There was a flood of people who came over in conjunction with your administration. And he repeats that, you know, this is something that was a problem specifically for your administration.
Quadrupled from the last year of President Trump. Was it a mistake to loosen the immigration policies as much as you did?
So the question is, was it a mistake to do what you did with the border? Off the top of my head, I think there were 94 executive orders that were undone of Donald Trump's in regards to the southern border. Our border policy, immigration, the border policy of the Biden-Harris administration was to look and see what Donald Trump did and then to do the opposite or to undo what was done by the Trump administration. There was active participation in undoing the things that Donald Trump did, and it was a priority for the Biden-Harris administration to do that. And Bill Whitaker here is saying, was it a mistake to undo that? And then she
goes, it's a long-standing problem.
So it's a long-standing problem. What that means is it is a problem, but it's not our fault.
And solutions are at hand. And from day one, literally, we have been offering solutions.
That's bullcrap.
What I was asking was it a mistake to kind of allow that flood to happen in the first place?
I think the policies that we have been proposing are about fixing a problem, not promoting a problem. Okay.
But the numbers did quadruple.
And the numbers today, because of what we have done, we have cut the flow of illegal immigration by half.
Should you have done that?
We have cut the flow of fentanyl by half. But we need Congress to be able to act to actually fix the problem.
It's amazing, because if you listen to what Whitaker is saying there, he said, when you got in office, the problem quadrupled. If the problem quadrupled when the Biden-Harris administration got in the office, and I might add, they had a Democrat Congress, so they could get done what they needed to get done if Democrats were in support of it. They had a Democratic Congress. They have enough Republicans and independents in the Senate that would have been able to be agreeable upon some sort of workable bill. Lord knows Mitch McConnell tried to sneak that Lankford thing through, and it was such a disaster that the real Republican Party stood up and said, sit down, Mitch. If Kamala Harris and the Biden-Harris administration were to, on day one, literally, which is what she says, act on this problem of the southern border, after their actions, the problem, according to Bill Whitaker of 60 Minutes, this isn't according to Sean Hannity to Donald Trump on Fox News at night. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Bill Whitaker sitting down on 60 Minutes looking Kamala Harris in the eye saying, you guys came into office and the problem quadrupled. If Bill Whitaker is asking this question, then the cat's out of the bag. And Kamala Harris, in a bunch of mushed up, messed up words, tries to say that we've offered policies and solutions. She, in the same breath, is trying to say, on day one, we worked to solve this problem. And on day one, we know the types of actions they did that wide open welcomed people into our southern border. On day one, they literally, that's what she said, were working towards solving this problem. And then at the end, she says, well, you need Congress to act. Yeah, it would be nice if Congress would act in total on improving our immigration system and locking it securely our southern border so that the people who come here and immigrate here, who love our country, who want to thrive in our country, understand where the front door is, and they come through the front door and we figure out a system that works for them to make sure that we can take the very best into our country and offer them what America has to offer people. It starts with respect for the idea of America and maybe the fact that you need a border in order to have an America. Kamala Harris is so bad at this. And the reason why she hasn't done this more frequently in her now 70 plus days of running for president is because she is so bad at this. I don't think that anybody is seeing her go on these different types of shows and really persuade people to say, yeah, she can handle it. She can do it. Here's Sunny Hostin with a view.
Well, if anything, Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
There is nothing that comes to mind. There is no separation between the Biden-Harris administration and what they have done to the point where we are right now. Your grocery bills, your $3.50 gas, your struggle to make ends meet by the end of the month, the understanding that everything costs so much that when you had to tap into your emergency savings fund, it gets drained super fast. The understanding that moving through month to month where everything is costing more, you thought you could handle it at first, but prices have continued to go up. And as prices have continued to go up, your savings goes down, your credit card bills go up. And pretty soon you go, oh my gosh, how did we get here? How did this happen? That's where the average American voter is right now. And on the coast, you've got people who are about to brace themselves for a 100-year hurricane that could potentially be slamming the west coast of Florida in some of the same parts that Helene has just been. You've got people all up the east coast in Georgia, in South Carolina, in North Carolina, who are trying to put together the pieces, and they can't even find the pieces to put them together. And Kamala Harris is slobbering all over her X account, trying to tell people about how the suffering of those in Lebanon needs to be addressed by 300 plus million American dollars that are being sent out to help them with things like food and shelter. She doesn't get it. She's pre-programmed by an idea that exists completely outside of you. What Kamala Harris is doing is she's following the playbook of a government that serves the government, that doesn't serve you. The reason she doesn't know how to talk to you is because she doesn't think she has to talk to you. The reason Kamala Harris doesn't understand you is because she doesn't think she has to understand you. Her ascent in politics has been laid out before her. The obstacles have been removed from her path. And she's been walking this path the whole time, thinking that she's been doing this on her own, or maybe knowing she hasn't. But she has lost complete and total touch with reality of what it's like to be in the middle of the country, somewhere around St. Louis, Missouri, trying to make ends meet, knowing you're working your butt off, and understanding it's just not paying off the way it's supposed to. This is harder than it's supposed to be. And people in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and Georgia and Nevada and North Carolina, they all understand that. They all know right now that it's more difficult than it needs to be. It shouldn't have to be this way in this country. And we've gotten here over the last 3.5 years, and Kamala Harris can't think of a thing. Can't think of a thing that she would do differently if it were the Harris-Biden administration rather than the Biden-Harris administration. She can't think of a thing. She doesn't understand you. She doesn't care to understand you. She wants to rule over you. She wants to be handed the highest elected job in the land, and she wants to regulate your life in the way that she thinks is best, or the way the system thinks is best, the way the people who operate behind that system and the bureaucracy, the way they think is best. And she's content with that. She probably, I would maybe give her the benefit of the doubt, she probably even thinks that she's being generous by gracing you with her presence, by doing the things she's doing, the work that needs to be done in terms of the job of the position that she's running for to be the president of the United States. How lucky you are to have Kamala Harris. That's really the message that she puts out. I've never met anybody who is so inept at having an honest conversation in a political campaign like she's in right now. It should not be this hard. You don't have to be perfect and flawless at it. Donald Trump is certainly not flawless at it. He has his style. It's not for everybody. I understand that. Not everybody is good like J.D. Vance. Some people are relatable in a kind of knucklehead kind of way like Tim Walz. I think that he is kind of a lovable character when I feel like he's genuine. I just don't feel like he's prime time. And I also feel like he is teetering on socialism in a few ways that I don't want to apply to my family and the White House. But Kamala Harris, she's prepackaged. She's off the shelf, and you're being told that she's one of a kind. It's not true. Fortunately, In 28 days, I believe, America has the ability to decide for themselves. Tammy Bruce will talk about that with us at 1:25, so stick around for that. About an hour from now, when we come back, we're going to speak with Fox News national correspondent Eben Brown about the hurricane that is coming to hit Florida from the Gulf side. It's quite something to see. Eben Brown gives us the latest on the Annie Frye Show next.
Hurricane Milton is still a dangerous Category 4 hurricane spinning just north of the Yucatan Peninsula. Even though Milton is forecast to slightly come down in intensity as it approaches Florida, it does not lessen the impacts as a major hurricane is forecast to make landfall along Florida's west coast late Wednesday night into early Thursday morning. Milton's wind field is expected to grow in size, so impacts will be felt well outside the cone. That is why hurricane and tropical storm warnings are now in effect for most of the state of Florida.
So there you had the Weather Channel. That's meteorologist Tiffany Savona talking about the strength of Hurricane Milton. And I feel like hurricanes are sensationalized a lot of times. You know, they might be very devastating for a small amount of people and very real for them as well. But the hurricane hype season is something I'm a little leery of, because I don't want to get overhyped by somebody else's tragedy and destruction or whatever. But I also am watching the growth of this storm in the Gulf going over where Helene has just been. And it's a little bit scary.
You do hope that this one is overhyped, because the potential destruction for this one just seems like it is astronomical. My wife, I think I've got permission to tell this story, so I'm telling you ahead of time.
This is good.
She was in New Orleans right before Katrina hit. So she lived there for 2 years. She happened to move away about a month before the hurricane had hit.
Oh, wow.
But she knew lots and lots of people who were from New Orleans.
And probably had a very personal connection to the videos and the shots and the pictures.
Well, yeah, she did. We weren't married at the time, so I wasn't there to like watch her react to that. But just, you know, since we got married, she had a really tough time going back to New Orleans, because she knew, now she taught in very, very poor districts, and she knew that a lot of those kids may not have made it. But it's a strange thing, because at the same time that you know that it's going to be possibly very devastating, it's also possible that if you live 3 miles east of that spot, you just had more rainfall. You know, you just had more water than usual, and then you evacuated for no reason. So it's a really tough thing to, you almost always have to preach caution and everybody flee, because you never know where that exact spot of the worst devastation is going to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing too is that there's also very often times, I believe, where the storm, like the way it's covered, is it's this big, and then for whatever reason it becomes this big. And so you don't know until you know that maybe it's dissipated a little bit and it's not going to have, you know, I just don't want to be the gawker on the highway that's driving past some sort of catastrophe that's dramatically changing people's lives and rubbernecking the whole time.
Right.
But like I'm looking right now, I didn't have any idea what the answer was to this question, but there were 1,392 people killed with Katrina. That's so enormous.
Yeah.
And you know, the geography of that location made it more difficult. It didn't seem as though they were prepared to address a situation like that. But, you know, a perfect storm in maybe the literal sense of serious destruction. But the death toll for Helene right now is up over 200 and something. I can't remember what the last number I said, and I don't want to say the wrong one. But it seems as though there are many, many people who are missing. And so it's like, where is this number going? It is amazing to me that the response has been as minimal. Like, what you're not getting from the White House that they're looking to lead on this issue.
No, you're not. It's really sad to watch, because even if you are not able to provide everything that you want to, let's say your heart is really going out, like George W. Bush. I mean, again, back to Katrina. You felt like this guy really, really, and in interviews afterwards, said that was the hardest thing about his presidency, was getting criticized for that, because he genuinely wanted to help people. He was genuinely trying to do as much as possible. I hope that is what this administration really does feel, and they're just messing it up. But I don't even get the sense that they're trying to lead on this. When you hear Kamala Harris out there criticizing Ron DeSantis and stuff, you're like, that's politics. That's not you rising above it. That is you getting involved in the campaign. Please lead on this issue.
As if Ron DeSantis is her opponent right now.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Ron DeSantis did reply to those suggestions.
And I've been in touch with both FEMA and the president, as well as marshaling all our state agencies and working to support our local communities. And so for Kamala Harris to try to say that my sole focus on the people of Florida is somehow selfish is delusional. She has no role in this. In fact, she's been vice president for 3.5 years. I've dealt with a number of storms under this administration. She has never contributed anything to any of these efforts. And so what I think is selfish
has she ever
is her
before?
Trying to blunder into this. No. And here's
has
the
she
thing.
Ever called before?
She has no role. No, she has no role in this process. I'm in contact with the president of the United States. I'm in contact with FEMA director. I'm obviously managing all our state agencies. We're supporting all our local government. And I will say this. I've had storms under both President Trump and President Biden, and I've worked well with both of them. She's the first one who's trying to politicize the storm, and she's doing that just because of her campaign.
And if you are questioning Ron DeSantis's perspective on this, remember how we continue to hear from Joe Biden and from the White House how in lockstep Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are. This is what Joe Biden had to say about Ron DeSantis.
The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs. I talked to him again yesterday, and I said, no, you're doing a great job. It's being all being done well. We thank you for it. And I literally gave my personal phone number to call. So I don't know. There was a rough start in some places, but every governor from Florida to North Carolina has been fully cooperative and supportive and acknowledged what this team is doing. And they're doing an incredible job. But we got a lot more to do.
I mean, he's the president of the United States talking about giving his personal phone number out to Ron DeSantis, saying everybody's doing a great job. And in the midst of all of those states, you have Republican and Democrat governors, right? Is it
yes,
North Carolina's governor?
Yes.
Yeah. A Democrat?
Yep.
And like the only person who is injecting themselves into this going, and this is a problem and this is political, blah, 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 is Kamala Harris. It's like she decides to show up on the scene now.
She looks like a fool.
To make it about herself.
It looks so stupid. It's also a bad campaign move to continually say, hey, when you think about the hurricane, why don't you think more about me? Like, what are you doing? And the criticisms that she's got against DeSantis, like, why are you doing this right now? Again, you just played it. The White House is communicating with DeSantis. They're just not talking to you. I mean, it's so stupid.
It is incredibly. It's really patently offensive, too, because there are a lot of people who are saying that the aid is not coming the way it's supposed to. Tulsi, or this is the FEMA administrator on the aid and the funding.
Well, Jake, I'm glad that you brought it up because, one, it's just categorically false. We have been there supporting Governor Cooper and everybody across Western North Carolina. We had teams on the ground before the storm made landfall in Western North Carolina. We are continuing to support. Our funding has not been impacted by any of those other needs across, you know, the federal government. It's dedicated to us. And I can assure you that no funding has been taken from the disaster relief fund.
That she says no funding has been taken from the disaster and relief funds. But we heard from Corinne Jean-Pierre in 2022 that they were using disaster relief funds to house and to feed migrants that are coming here. So if you I mean, two things can be true at the same time. You cannot be taking for inappropriate uses disaster relief fund to house and feed hurricane victims to use it for things that aren't falling under the umbrella of that disaster relief. But if you consider the migrants that are coming here to be disaster relief, and then you're feeding them and housing them, and then when it comes to what I've heard FEMA say is that they have enough funds for Helene, but they don't have enough for the next storm. Well, the next storm is showing up tonight.
Yeah.
In Florida. Tulsi Gabbard said it in a way that, of course, Tulsi Gabbard can say things about FEMA. Here's what she thought about it.
You know, we can't say that this incompetence, because incompetence implies that you do care and you've made your best effort, but you have failed. They have made very clear their priorities all along. And unfortunately, it's the American people and our fellow Americans who are in the most dire need in this moment of disaster who are feeling the consequences of that. They've created these open borders. They've provided our taxpayer dollars. You've seen how people are saying, yeah, you know, I get up to 2 years of free rent. They're giving me money for food and they're giving me money to support the family, coming from illegal immigrants who are saying this. That's coming from this Harris Biden administration.
Tulsi Gabbard says that incompetence implies that you gave your best effort and failed. So incompetence doesn't apply here. We are going to see the stories that come out of Helene in years' time. We're going to see the people who are going to tell the real stories of what really happened there. Maybe FEMA is doing a much better job and they're just not organized enough to communicate that to the American public. But I'm seeing people on social media and I'm always kind of like looking, if somebody's telling a story into their, they're sitting in their car and they're telling a story that could be looked at as a sob story, but also could be looked at as something that is incredibly, that I can be incredibly sympathetic to and see the heartbreak right in front of me. I've seen it on Fox News. Jesse Waters had this young man on that actually got brought tears to my eyes, and I'm pretty numbed most things because I'm in the news all the time. But these people just feel completely forgotten. And I don't know what it would be like to have everything ravaged, to have lost people that you love, and to just sit there and wait for something to happen next. And it's not happening.
The best stories that I've heard are the ones from people who are, some of them are part of organizations, ministries that exist for this reason. And they're just pulling in as many people as they possibly can, doing a lot of really good work. Other ones are they're not organizations. They're just a group of people. Maybe it's a small business that has some trucks. You know, there's a lot of people getting involved because this is such a widespread area that's been affected that it's good to hear that when the government can't do it, Americans, especially in that part of the country, man, they're banding together.
Well, and you know, that's really, it should be, Americans should be banding together. And what the Americans who are banding together can't do is when government should show
exactly.
up. Like that should be the default. That's the proper order. We should help each other. We should have a community that we can rely on and a culture that we can, you know, invest in that gives back when after you've invested in it. And when the task is too great, then the government comes in and handles with the collection of the taxpayer dollars that are coming from those people who are suffering, but all, from the entire country to say, no, we've got you in this instance. This is too big for any one community to prepare for and to subsidize. And that's why we come together. I don't know that that's why we came together to do that for Lebanon. And Kamala Harris is like a moron, is out there tweeting, or somebody's tweeting for her, you know, championing. All you had to do was take out Lebanon and put in Asheville, or talk about North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. All you got to do is swap those out. And everyone's like, that's the message we've been looking for. There it is. That's what we've been waiting to hear. It makes me think back, and this, I can understand why maybe people be like, Amy, that's not the best example. But remember when COVID started? And you remember when Governor Cuomo was having daily discussions about what they were doing? Now, in the midst of an emergency, leaders have to make decisions. Sometimes those decisions are wrong. Real leaders will not be afraid of making decisions, and they will own up when their decisions are wrong. With that being said, it was comforting to see leaders like Governor Cuomo, who I disagree with on most things, but also like Trump, like Pence, at the time, like Fauci. It was comforting to see them. Here's the deal today. Maybe sometimes multiple times, but you were out there and you were leading on it, and we would all pivot. I mean, I think that the world kind of stopped when those coronavirus briefings were happening and we were seeing the 15 days to slow the spread. Now, I understand that a lot of the decisions that were made there turned out to not be the best decisions, but they did what they did. They had to make decisions. And I think that because of the bureaucracy, when people were trying to pivot, the bureaucracy was in motion and it is so big that it couldn't be stopped. And it cost Donald Trump his presidency.
Yeah.
But I see no leadership on this. I see no leadership on this.
Yeah. This administration looks paralyzed by polls.
Or worse, they look like they don't care.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's not true. But they, at best, they look like they don't know what to do because they know that any decision they make could be the wrong one. So they're just not making any decisions, which is not leadership.
Analysis paralysis. I don't know that that's the case for this administration. Other than, you said, polls, they only care about what affects their political future. And the irony is, if they'd actually care about the American people, they'd have a better political future. We're going to play a video from you. This is from 2008. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've seen it around. I know it's older. It's 2008 to 2012, somewhere around there. I couldn't get an exact date.
Is this the woman who just did the...
Yeah, it's Nora O'Donnell.
Nora O'Donnell on what network?
CBS.
I don't have a lot of information, obviously.
CBS.
I just know what she's going to say. Nora O'Donnell, I think it's an 08-ish, did you say?
Yeah, roughly in that time frame.
And she said this on CBS. Let's listen to...
Now we're learning that scientists and researchers are looking at how...
And then she buffered.
Yeah, she just buffered there for a second. Live on TV.
Yeah.
It was weird to watch.
We'll pull the clip for you when we come back. But she's talking about how the government has started, is it cloud seeding? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
But with lasers.
But with lasers.
lasers?
It's with lasers.
Is that what she says?
Yeah, her and the physicists.
Try to play it one more time, because I really want to hear Nora O'Donnell.
Learning that scientists and researchers are looking at how to...
Okay, send me the link and I'll do it. How to control the weather or influence the weather. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, does the government control the weather, yes or no? And I have encountered so many conversations about this on social media, in real life where people are joking about it, and in real life where people are very serious about it. So this is one of those things where I think I know how this poll is going to shake out at the end of the day with the Annie Fry Show 97.1 audience, but maybe I don't. So we're going to ask the question. We want to know from you, does the government control the weather? Do you think that they do? You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and you can vote yes or no. And please, please, by all means, leave a comment as to why you voted the way you did on this issue. Vicky says no. Sometimes Mother Nature is just Mother Nature. Jackie said yes. They have openly talked about it. And there are numerous questions I'm pulling, Kamala, but the question is, to what extent is the government controlling the weather? So she's saying yes, she thinks they do. So we've got a yes and a no. If you want to see the results where they are right now, you got to get to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave your vote in the comments. We have 136 votes so far. What do you think? Leave a comment, leave a vote. We'll continue discussing it, and we'll get Nora O'Donnell on the record here on the Annie Fry Show about this issue as well. We'll be right back. Normally Wiggins America right now, but we're going to push that back a little bit with Ryan Wiggins' permission to talk to our friend Eben Brown, who is with us to talk about what is taking place in the Southeast. Eben Brown is a Fox News national correspondent. Eben, thank you for being here with us today. It's good to have you here.
Hi there. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, right here, 12:50 in the afternoon. Can you tell us what is taking place with Hurricane Milton, how the country is preparing for it?
Well, the country, I couldn't tell you about it. If you want to talk about Florida, we could talk about that. Florida is certainly getting people out of the way, and a lot of people are heeding these calls to evacuate, and that's the most important thing that can be done. Really up and down the whole western Gulf Coast of Florida, we want to make sure that we can get everyone out of the way of storm surge, which could be as high as 15 feet in some places, especially around Tampa Bay. That's a lot of water that comes rushing in.
Does that mean, for us Midwesterners, does that mean that you have a wall of water coming, a wave coming at you that's 15 feet tall?
It is more like a wave. It's more like rising water that just comes from the sea. It doesn't necessarily come in waves. It just sort of builds. But it washes everything off of its foundation. It destroys homes, it destroys businesses, and it kills people. People don't really survive it. If they do, it's a fluke. You don't want to put money on that.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. And in many cases, it just means moving 5 or 10 miles. You know, it's just getting out of the way of this rising sea. Now, of course, 5 or 10 miles away, you're still going to get wind. You're probably going to get the power knocked out. You'll be wet. You may be miserable even, but you'll be alive. And maybe, you know, after it recedes, you can go home and check out, you know, if you had damage or not, or if you do, you can get that whole process started, which is another catastrophe to have to deal with. But we're looking first and foremost, obviously, to save lives.
Correct. Fox News national correspondent Evan Brown with us right now. How much of an intersection is there in where Milton is potentially headed and where Helene has already been?
It's a perfect intersection. Helene, as it made a north run through the Gulf of Mexico off the Florida coast, was swiping the entire western coast of Florida with its wind and its water and its storm surge, and a lot of this same area is going to be hit again. So there's a lot of debris cleanup that's moving into double time to try to get as much of that picked up, because that just becomes another hazard. But ultimately, it probably won't all get picked up, and there's really not much you can do about it. But it is a problem. This is a place that's definitely getting a 1-2 punch.
Eben, this is Ryan Wiggins. Florida deals with this more often than most do. How are the residents of Florida treating this one? Same old thing? You know, they've got their protocol, or are they treating this differently?
No, this is a very tiring thing to have to go through, and it comes at a time where everything else is not good either. You know, our economy, as everyone is aware, is not very good around the country, and wallets are tight, and budgets are tight. And with that, we have had a significant insurance catastrophe for the past couple of years here, where there are homes and properties that are underinsured or uninsured, and a lot of people relying on a state-backed insurer of last resort that is overtaxed, if you will. With that, there will be people who will have trouble getting made whole on the other side of this. Even if they are insured, the hurricane deductible, because you have to submit a hurricane claim, not just your regular claim under your policy, that hurricane deductible could be tens of thousands of dollars in and of itself. In fact, even from my own, and I live in the Miami area and I'm not near water, my hurricane deductible is $22,000.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's unsustainable for people.
For most people, it will be. Now, on the other side of that is the fact that FEMA could and often has always done emergency loans to homeowners for unsecured up to $25,000. After that, they put a lien on the property. But it's, very low financing, like 1%. They defer interest and defer payment for, a year. It was, a very good program. But if what we're hearing is true on these other matters, that FEMA is out of money, and I don't want to get too far into that hole. But if they are, does that affect the ability or the speed in which they can issue those loans? Because a lot of people won't necessarily have $22,000 to plunk down to get repairs started.
Yeah.
And they may have to put that on credit card, but maybe they don't have that capability right now because our economy is in bad shape and everyone has run up their credit cards.
That's right.
So we have a real problem. I mean, look, everyone likes the hurricane, the scare factor and the guy on TV holding on to the tree trunk and blowing away. And that's all well and good. And everyone thinks that's TV. And then it's over 2 days later. It's not. These are years long events. For the people who live in these places, and they're facing economic peril more so than, obviously there's a physical danger to their lives, but they're evacuating.
Yeah.
But there's an economic peril that comes afterwards.
Before we let you go, we don't have much time left here. We're speaking with Eben Brown. Is there any advice, solid advice for people here living in the Midwest of how we can the most quickly affect some sort of charity generosity to help the people who are going to be in the line of this storm and recovering from the last?
There are a number of charities out there that I can't necessarily endorse one over the other. I would just recommend people do their diligence to make sure it's not a scam. Mm-hmm. Obviously money is fungible and therefore goes a long way. But look, there's going to be a need for food and water and medicine and clothing and things like that, blankets, all that kind of stuff. So, I would recommend, people kind of look into the charities that they've heard of and they know of and they trust, and that that might be the best way to go about something like that. But yeah, there's going to be a need for help down here as well as manpower. I mean, there'll be church groups and other groups that will arrange for humans to travel down and just be pairs of hands.
Yeah. That, yes, absolutely. Very, very important for people to use that time as well. Eben Brown, thank you for the time today. We appreciate it. We're praying for you and for everybody in the line of this storm, and we hope that we get the best outcome possible.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I mean, I've talked about this on occasion, but my husband and I went to Joplin, Missouri to help clean up after the tornado. Life-changing for me. I don't stand on my porch anymore and watch the sirens go off and see what's coming. It's time to get down in the basement. But I just imagine this hurricane cleanup is similar to that on such a grand scale.
Yeah, he said years long. And he's right. We all think about the Weather Channel moment, but way past that.
Wiggins America at 145, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, stick around for that. We're going to speak with Tammy Bruce in the next hour as well. Does the government control the weather? That's the YouTube poll. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.